how the tech are you? This is our weekly tech show on Echoplex Media. I am historian Matt, and I got some kind of weird, interesting stories this week. Not my usual stuff. Both of them are actually follow-ups to older stories, so I want to jump right into it. My first story is superconductivity researcher grounded until he conducts himself properly. And I screwed up that title, even though that was the whole point of doing this this particular story. Not really, but so basically, we've covered this a little bit before. But it, basically, this superconductivity researcher, I believe his name is Ranga Day. He basically claimed that he had made a high temperature superconductor. It was like high temperature plus high pressure, but since then, his papers have been retracted. I believe we covered it when there was like, I guess he had a superconductor that was not as high pressure or something like that. And there was a whole hubbub about it, but it did not actually, wasn't actually true. I think it was this guy. I'm not sure if it's the same guy. But basically, the University of Rochester, which is where he works, found that he committed research misconduct. And it's going through some disciplinary actions. What do you guys think?
I remember this guy. Yeah. I remember the story. I remember, like, literally there was a video of some guy, like, pushing around a magnet with a pen. And, like, the magnet was just, like, laying, like, one side of it was, like, touching the magnet it was sitting on. And the other side was just kind of sitting up. And they were saying, like, oh, look, superconductivity. And it's like, yeah, but it's not floating in the air. That's not superconductivity. Like, all magnets do that. That's just a magnet.
No, I mean, he played around with it and stuff. And it was definitely kind of stuck in that area. But there's, like, two different reasons why you can have a floating magnet. Like, there are floating material that looks like superconductivity. One of them is it's a superconductor. And another one, I don't remember what it was called, but there's another way that can happen that isn't superconductor. And they think that that was the second one that caused the floating material in that case. And I think that was him. Yeah.
Not possible. But it wasn't even floating. It was just resting on one side.
It was kind of touching on one side, but the other side was kind of floating. So that's where they're calling it. Like, he touched it and went down, but it went back up. And
if it's physically touching the surface it's resting on, like the surface underneath it, if it's physically touching that surface, it's not floating, period.
Okay.
To me.
Okay.
It's like the dress. Remember the dress?
Yep. Yeah, but I think that effect is called quantum locking. It's suspended in position relative to another magnet. You have a superconductor that's suspended in position relative to a magnet. And this was, to me, clearly not quantum locking.
Yeah.
Magnets, how do they work?
Nope.
Nobody knows.
Apparently, because that video fooled a lot of people, and it's like, that's just a magnet. Like, I've played with magnets. I've done literally that exact same thing with magnets before. It's just a magnet.
Yeah, well, apparently it's not a superconductor anyways.
Yep.
And I like the title, but I see what someone did there. I mean,
see what someone did. I was going for. I tried. The actual article, it just talks about him. This guy, he had the research papers out and they're being retracted and goes into a little bit of depth of, you know, how they found out about it and stuff, but that's pretty much the whole thing.
Yep. So how long do you think until he comes out with a podcast where he talks about how how academia is like conspiring against him?
Well, if he hasn't already, it should be soon. Cause they're like, if this happens, like you basically, your career is done. Like you cannot continue to be a scientist.
How long until
you have two papers retracted and you're getting disciplinary action for research misconduct.
Yeah. How long till we see him on Wednesday?
Yep. That's his next stop.
Is it next Wednesday? Maybe.
Yeah. And that would be a good time to plug our podcast on Wednesday. Just go to twitch.tv/Echoplex Media on Wednesday night. You'll see what it is. What do you got next, Matt?
moving right along to my next one. So the title I have here is just $23.6 quintillion dollars in claims. What am I talking about? Well, those are the claims. That's the amount of claims against FTX. And if you're wondering, one quintillion is 1 billion billions, or a one followed by 18 zeros. So I'm not entirely sure how they came up with these claims. I think what happens is they have a certain amount of loss, and these are like big companies. And because it's such a huge fraud and they know it was a fraud, it gets like multiples, you know, of the actual losses are. And I think that's how it kind of added up. Plus there's probably some scamming or something like that. Most likely with the FTX, there was a loss, an overall loss of probably about $10 billion, which is still a really big number, but not quite that big. And I think by comparison, like all of the wealth, if you added up all the wealth of the entire earth, it's like $700 trillion, which is many orders of magnitude lower than that number. But
that's like four orders of magnitude, right?
Yeah.
It goes trillion, quadrillion, and then quintillion.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about this because Sam Bankman-Fried is up for sentencing this week. I'm going to call him SBF from now on. But he's facing a 110-year max penalty. That doesn't necessarily he's going to get that, but that's like the maximum he could get, which he's calling a supervillain level of sentence. So, which probably sounds about right. And I think a lot of people kind of think he's a supervillain at this point. But of course, SBF is trying to minimize how much harm he caused or minimize the harm that he caused. And seems to be delusional. And this article talks about it. Basically, the article is about a letter from FTX, I believe's current CEO, where the CEO is debunking a bunch of SBF's claims. I didn't want to go through each of the claims and talk about it. You can read the article. But it's, you know, the current CEO is the guy who took over after the whole collapse happened and SBF left. And it's just, yeah, he's basically saying like, you know, FTX was a disaster when they left it, and they're still trying to find all the money and hopefully get some back to the people who lost money. What do you guys think?
That is a silly number.
That is a very silly number.
I think he's, hopefully he gets what he deserves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a silly number. But he did cost a lot of people like their life savings, and he ruined a lot of lives. So I hope he spends a long, long time in prison.
What seems odd to me is that there is still a CEO of FTX, and that there was no like corporate death penalty applied to the entity known as FTX as a result of all of this.
Well, from what I can tell, it's basically dead. It's just they have a CEO and he's in charge of finding all the money so they can give it back to the people who lost, or give as much as possible back to the people who lost money. Like FTX as a company, like as an exchange, does not exist anymore.
Well, good.
It just exists to try and find all the stuff, you know, try and find all the money and give it back to people.
And that job's got to suck, because it's not like we got a lot of money to pay that person.
Nope.
Probably makes more than I do, though.
Yeah. More than I do.
All right.
He definitely makes more than I do.
What you got, HK?
All right. How the tech are you? This week, I've got two somewhat similar stories. The first one is Reddit sells out. Reddit went public and made $519 million. Reddit went public at $34 per share to its moderators and admins. Then they opened on the market at $47 per share, and they are currently trading, as of this recording, at $59.80 per share. So a substantial increase since their IPO, offering a large portion of their shares, around 8%, to their moderators is a novel approach in an IPO that's hasn't been done before. So that was interesting. It is worth noting that Reddit recently made a deal with Google to sell their user-generated content for AI training. So, take that as you will. What do you guys think about that?
I read Reddit Like I almost use it instead of Google because Google search results are such hot garbage now that I just go into Reddit and search for the thing I'm looking for, especially if I'm going to buy a product or whatever. I think this is good. I thought Reddit's IPO was going to go the other way. I thought it was going to dip, but it.
Yep, I did too.
We got a bit of a bounce. Letting the mods buy some shares is pretty interesting because those people have been working for free for Reddit. Because if anybody's unfamiliar, Reddit has like a very baseline set of like rules about the website. Like obviously you can't post illegal things, you can't threaten people, that kind of like very basic stuff. And then the subreddits stack moderation rules on top of that. And some of them are interesting, like the IQ test subreddit, if you could imagine. They have a bunch of weird rules in the IQ test subreddit. High IQ only.
I used to frequent Reddit. Like literally I would spend multiple hours every single day on Reddit. And I no longer do that. I have not visited Reddit, I think, since mid last year, like somewhere around like August of last year. I think that was the last time I logged into Reddit. I fully switched to Lemmy, which is the Fediverse clone of Reddit. You know, Mastodon is kind of like the Fediverse clone of Twitter. Lemmy is the Fediverse clone of Reddit. And now I use Lemmy just as much as I used to use Reddit.
Well, cool. This is surprising. I thought because Reddit's had problems as a company for like a very long time, and I was pretty stunned that investors saw fit to purchase the stock at such a rate that it actually caused the price to go up.
A lot of it is, I think that, you know, they saw that deal with Google and they're thinking like, wow, Reddit has a whole lot of valuable resources that their users just gave to them. You know, I did it for years too. I would just write content on Reddit that, to me, I was just like, you know, sending replies to people and stuff. But to Reddit, it's like, no, I'm building out their product, essentially. You know, just like Facebook, you know, what you put on Facebook, you becomes Facebook's product, right?
Yes.
So just like that, what you put on Reddit becomes Reddit's product. That's what they sell. So, you know, it does make sense to me that investors would see that and go, oh, there's opportunity there. But I was also expecting it to go down and it went up. So I guess good for Reddit. I'm not a fan of them at all anymore. So, I guess I'm indifferent to them.
So the IPO may have tended to be less volatile. Also, it wasn't a huge bump, and that could just be because Reddit's been around for like 15 years. And so it's like a known entity, you know? So it wasn't going to like triple or quadruple, and it wasn't going to like hack in half. It's just been around for so long that, you know, whatever the valuation was probably, you know, based on good, like long-term information. So good for some of the mods who made a few bucks if they did.
Yeah. That was the one part that, I thought that was actually real good on Reddit to offer that kind of, it would have sucked if it had gone down for those moderators who actually bought in, but you know, the moderators ended up making some money. So I thought that was good for Reddit to do that. And it's only 8%, which, you know, 8% of shares is not like a minor amount of shares, but when you're spreading it among all of those moderators and admins, it does, like, each person gets a very minor amount. But, it was good of them to offer that kind of incentive to their, to the people who have been building them out as a product for literally years
for free.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised it wasn't a bigger IPO. I would have expected, like, you know, it hitting the billion mark or something, because it's such a well-known, you know, website. It's used by lots of people. I don't use it, but I do often run across Reddit sites when I'm like searching for something.
Well, they did. If you add up all their shares, the value of their IPO puts them at about $6.5 billion. That is less than the last time that they were privately valued, which was $10 billion. But you know, it does make them a multi-billion-dollar company.
Oh, okay. I missed that somewhere along the line. Okay.
All right. What do you got next?
Yeah.
All right. My next story, a somewhat related one. Truth Social sells out. Who wants to buy a sinking ship that lost $10.6 million in the first 9 months of 2023? Digital World Acquisition Corp. That's who. They plan to list Trump Media and Technology Group. Trump Media and Technology Group. Say that 10 times fast. On the stock market through a merger. This plan values Trump's stake in the company at $3.3 billion. This, to me, this further solidifies the Republican Party as the party of the wealthy elite. It is worth noting that Truth Social is just a reskinned, slightly modified version of Mastodon with the soapbox front end. And it does not federate with other instances. So if you're on Truth Social, you can't see anything outside of Truth Social. And if you're not on Truth Social, you can't see Truth Social, even though they just run Mastodon under the hood. What do you guys think?
I think everybody would have blocked that instance if it was on the Fediverse anyway.
Absolutely. I would have blocked it day one.
Definitely.
Yep. So I don't know. I don't know. The only, like, why there's nothing going on, like, why is just one guy's stake in this thing worth $3.3 billion? Like,
fuck if I know, man. Like, I don't know why the company is worth anything. Like, obviously it's worth something because they have a user base, but it's not a great user base. Like, to me, that's a relatively non-monetizable user base. Like, first of all, they're already strapped for cash because they keep giving Trump all their cash, and like, Trump is just a black hole of money. Like, he just sucks it in, and it's always going to go towards like legal expenses. And like, secondly, it's like the kind of people who are on Truth Social, these kind of people aren't the kind of people who are bringing in like six-figure, seven-figure incomes. Like, these people are probably, like, you know, maybe not like barely scraping by, but they're like people who have a modest disposable income.
And even if there was a bunch of rich people, even if it was a bunch of rich people, who wants to advertise there?
Yeah.
Like how many gold IRAs can you advertise?
It's all about, it's all pillows, right? It's
all pillows. Yeah, all pillows. Pillows all the way down. No, I think that's Frank's speech. The pillow dude has his own Truth Social clone.
Oh, okay.
I got kicked off of that one, if you could imagine.
You mean Frank's speech isn't all about free speech?
Apparently you're not allowed to suggest that the guy who runs it is off the wagon.
Oh, he's so off the wagon, though.
Yeah, I know, but you're not allowed to do that. I don't know what's going on here. I think there's some. I think the technical word is fuckery going on here.
Yeah, I think it might just be a way to give Trump money.
Yeah.
I mean, without, you know, like giving Trump money, quote unquote.
We'll see, though. We'll see. Maybe there's some core technology there that we don't understand.
There is not. It is literally Mastodon.
But he has the guys that are good at the cyber. Anyway, I guess it's now my turn. I have two stories this week. Also, my phone isn't on silent, so I should probably fix that. I'm a technical whiz. Turned my phone on silent with just one hand. So I'm Dave. I'm the producer, co-producer, I suppose, of this show and the producer of all the other shows here on Echoplex Media. Whether or not that's a good thing is up to your interpretation. Check out our website, echoplexmedia.com, buy a hat or something. I don't know. So my first story is going to be one of those. Some of these have been coming around lately where we call it crossing the streams around here, where this is a story that's probably going to end up on our local news show down ballot as well. City of San Jose is training AI to spot homeless encampments. Yeah, you heard that right. That's a pretty dystopian use of AI, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. So for the past few months, the city has been using AI to detect campers and tents with people living in them. This is the first known experiment of its kind. City employees are driving a car around with a single camera through San Jose District 10, which is mostly South San Jose, and they're doing it like every few weeks. The data is then examined by a computer system, and if you could imagine, housing advocates are concerned. What do you guys think?
I'm wondering how long it's going to be until there's like some Boston Dynamics robots running around beating up homeless people.
Remember Ed 209 in RoboCop?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, we talk about that a lot on Down Ballot. We call San Jose Mayor Matt Mahan. We call him Mayor Ed 209 because we're just waiting for him to unleash Ed 209 on the people he doesn't, on the people he thinks shouldn't be in San Jose. I
was thinking,
oh, go ahead. No.
I was thinking the Black Mirror episode where I had the dog like robot that went and like was killing everybody. Yeah.
Oh, that was a good
little episode. Robot dogs running around murdering homeless people.
So yeah, fits this, with Boston Dynamics dogs.
Something like this could have gone the other way, though. You know, it could have been that they could have used some kind of machine learning model to figure out where people were to get them services. But it doesn't seem like that's the point here. I think it's going to identify encampments to be cleared out, because that's been the history of San Jose as far as this stuff goes. So I'm not a big fan of, as we call him, Mayor Ed 209. I wasn't before. And, you know, the fact that this is going on, it doesn't surprise me, and I'm going to be really interested to see what the councilman has to say about this, probably tomorrow night or yesterday as you're listening to this. More dystopian shit. You know, it's like everybody's, you know, they're like, oh, we're going to use AI to change the world and make everybody's life better. I'm like, no, you're not. You're using it to fucking chase down homeless people. Like,
yeah,
and they're
already literally using it to make lives worse.
And it's not like they're going to use the same technology to try and find houses where there aren't anybody in there.
Oh,
like,
no.
You know, people coming in and out, and maybe putting them together and taking the homeless people and putting them in the empty houses.
No, Matt, get
not going to do Matt, that.
Please, let's not be ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Yeah, very apt, the last bullet point you put there. Welcome to the dystopia. This is like the most dystopian thing I've heard in a long time.
Well, you know, that's probably why Matt was like, you know, if I'm going to do this show about tech, I should probably have Dave on, because Dave is going to make this terrifying and not fun. But my next story is fun, or at least a little bit of schadenfreude. What we got here is a judge throws out Elon Musk's lawsuit against an anti-hate group. In July of 2023, Musk and X sued the Center for Countering Digital Hate. The suit claimed that the CCDH was illegally scraping Twitter data. The suit was tossed out by Judge Charles Breyer, saying that X did not adequately even allege any losses from the scraping of the data, and that the suit was designed to attempt to punish CCDH and dissuade others from doing similar reporting. And my response to the judge is, duh.
Yep. Yeah. I hope that the CCDH did not have to spend a whole lot on this lawsuit.
Yeah.
I hope that the judge awards them... what do you call it? Compensatory damages? Is that what it's called?
Fees, basically. They award them fees. And I don't know where this was filed. Probably, I guess I could find out. If it was filed in California, you can get your fees plus some if it's thrown out under the slap suit regulations. But I would imagine that Musk probably didn't do this in California. And to be honest, I should have done more work researching this, but I had a lot to do today. So that's the way it goes. It's the way it goes. I I do find it kind of funny that this guy just thought he was going to sue somebody for reporting on what his website was going to do, and that that was going to work. What his website was doing, and that that was going to work for him. You illegally scraped data from my website. Everything on your website's public, you fucking idiot.
Well, like, I feel like that's one of the problems with the way we have our justice system set up, is the only damages we can offer to something like this, where it's a civil suit, you know, it's not criminal. The only damages we can offer are monetary, and monetary damages don't matter to Elon Musk. Like, he's got so much money, like, it's just coming out of his ears. So, like, to him, let's say the CCDH was awarded like $1 million in compensatory damages, that wouldn't matter to Elon. Like, that's worth it to Elon to try and keep other companies from doing similar reporting, just like the judge said. So I feel like something like this, there should be more consequences for both Elon doing this and for Twitter as a company, you know, whatever it's called, X Corp, whatever it's called now.
Could you imagine him being sentenced to community service? The man hasn't done like a selfless thing in his life. You're like driving down the freeway. You're like, oh shit, there's Elon picking up trash on the side of the road.
Oh my God, that would be so great. I would love that.
But the people who have to do community service for other like minor crimes, they have enough problems as it is without having to listen to this guy tell them about like the future of Mars or some shit. Just trying to like this for the other people there. It's cruel and unusual punishment, right? Because nobody wants to hang out with this guy.
I feel like Elon Musk would try to claim that like working for Tesla or, you know, SpaceX or something is community service in and of itself.
So, but this is also good because he was threatening to sue Media Matters for a while. And if this is any indication of how that would go, then maybe he's not going to do that. But also he could have just been high and just been mad.
Well, like I said, though, there's no consequences to him doing it. He could file as many of these lawsuits as he want and lose them all. There's literally zero consequences for him. He has enough money. Like, he will make more money during this frivolous lawsuit than it would cost him to file it and, you know, have it thrown out.
Well, yeah, well, except that one time when he got sued by his other shareholders and Tesla, and he lost like $50 billion in one day or something like that.
But even that, like, he's still got billions of dollars left.
Yeah.
He's still got more money than I will ever earn in my life, than all three of us will ever
probably. It,
plus everyone who is currently listening to this and ever will listen to this throughout the history of time. All of us, if you take all the money that we will ever make combined, it's still vastly less than what Elon will make. Elon owns like what, $200 billion? So we are. All of our money combined is still roughly $200 billion less than that.
Wouldn't it be great if he goes to like sue Right Wing Watch and under the slap thing, the judge is just like, well, now you got to give People for the American Way $75 billion.
It would be great. But even then, he'd still have $125 billion.
Or if they took Twitter from him too and gave it to Right Wing Watch, that'd be funny.
That would be great. Yeah, take his stuff. Don't take his money. Take his stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, take his spaceship company. He'd be so sad about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
He would.
Well, this is good. This is good. This is a good sign, because the last time he was involved in like litigation that was that was in the news, that wasn't like shareholder related, was that time with that diver where he called the diver a child abuser. And then unfortunately, the courts found that that was not defamation of character or libel or slander or whatever it was, even though that man was relentlessly harassed as a result of Elon Musk calling him a child abuser. And so at least this time this guy lost. But, you know, like you said, HK, even if he had to pay the court fees or the lawyer's fees through the other side, because this is a frivolous lawsuit, he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a punishment to him.
No, he probably found a way to write it off too. Right. Like, it's awful.
Yep.
Well, I guess that's the show. Who wants to read the show out? HK, you've been doing it.
I'll do it again.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to How the Tech Are You. We do this show weekly, and we put it out on YouTube in multiple installments, and we also put it out as a podcast. If you want to check that out, that and our other podcasts are available on echoplexmedia.com. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And if you want to support us, you can do that at patreon.com/echoplex and eplex.store. And if you support us on eplex.store, you get to buy a lot of our merch. We have some really great merch, and every merch item that you buy supports the channel, and it supports our podcast network. So feel free to do that, and there will be another video for you right up here. Have a great tech and week.